This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sean Scanlon, the comptroller here in Connecticut, joining us every couple months, which I appreciate the time. Yeah. How was the summer?
Summer was good. Went by too fast like it always does, but it was good.
And the kids, what stages are we?
We got a kindergartner, started last week, and we got a preschooler.
You're still in the thick of it.
It's thick of it.
I just, you know, this is the first summer I officially was like, the sandcastle era has been over for a while for me, but it I kind of miss it now that the boys stink and one of them talks back like you would not believe. And I'm like, man, it'd be nice to go back. So if you can, embrace it.
My sandcastle era is here, except it's like Game of Thrones, because after two towers are built, there is a destructing element that comes into the other sandcastle.
Right.
And then
of course.
It's meltdown mode.
That's a weird thing about ocean and sand. It's like it's always going to go away. It doesn't stay. I got a laundry list. I'm gonna play the wheel with you.
Okay.
Where you want to start? I have WNBA. I have the Democratic Party. I have volunteerism. I have the surplus. We can talk property tax. I'm gonna let you choose.
I think you always are good to.
Okay,
steer us.
Let's start with basketball.
Let's do it.
I think that we had Arunan on yesterday, and I really like him, and I think he cares in all the right places. I think everything's a little bit too late. And I think the WNBA so much doesn't want it to stay here that it's not going to happen. But I also know how great it would be for Hartford if you had the team have most of its games here, and that it's the facility that I think would be the best.
Yeah.
But the thing we talked about this morning is why can't, if you really cared, not just you, but the government, if Lamont, why isn't Lamont, Lazary, all these people doing some sort of media blitz? To me, it's like half-hearted. Arunan did this news conference, but it was 3 weeks, in my opinion, too late. And maybe someone said, well, you got to fight for your city, so go out and fight, even if it's a losing battle. Like, A, do you think there's any chance? And B, if you really care, why isn't the government showing that they care more?
Well, I think the governor has been really out front on this. His style is not to do TikTok on it, like I did last week, that went somewhat viral, and then Arunan did his best.
What's your barrier for viral?
Is it like for a comptroller, 30,000 views is pretty damn good, brother. You know, we don't have a lot that goes that viral, but it certainly got the attention of a lot of national outlets,
sure.
and certainly the WNBA. And listen, I was just calling them out for what they are doing right now, which is they are trying to block the will of the current owner and the will of the fans to keep this team in Connecticut. So you asked me what the chance is. I think there is an incredible chance this team stays in Connecticut, because if the deal that the tribe wants to go through and the fans want to go through that will keep this team in Connecticut gets blocked, the tribe just won't sell the team. And they stay here. And the WNBA can't stop that.
And you know that.
I'm not saying I know that. I'm telling you that's what I think.
Okay.
If
what
you're
if
asking
the league,
me for a prediction, that's what I think.
What if the league said, screw it, we'll give you the 325 and then we'll put it where we want?
They give the 325.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the tribe wants to keep this here. You know, I think I want to trust them. They've been a great partner to us as a state. They're a big job creator in our state. And they're telling us that they want to keep the team here. They want us to figure out a way to do it. The governor is working his butt off all summer. He's been working on this. Trust me. He may be not doing a lot of press on it because his style is to work behind the scenes, and he is doing that. But now I think what you see people like me and Arun and other people doing is calling the WNBA for what they're doing, and the fans should be doing the same thing.
Well, that's the thing that I think that the governor could do is galvanize public support. And I also think Lazary, I don't know the man, and I think the best, if I were a billionaire, the best billionaires are the people you don't know, because that's the way you can actually enjoy your wealth. And so I don't blame him for not wanting to be a public persona, but if he's serious, that I want to hear from him. And I think that it's great that that's the governor's style, but I think he needs to change his style, because if you want to win over the public and get people to care, you got to try to get a rally. You got to try to get people to write letters and make phone calls. Like I actually think that that could be a style, but I don't think it's the right approach here.
I think you'll see him doing more of that. But again, him not necessarily doing that is not, it should not be taken as a reflection that he's not doing anything about this. In fact, he's doing a lot on this. And I think that the state wants to keep this team here. If we can get this deal done and the team can split their time between Hartford and Eastern Connecticut, I think it's a really big win for economic development. I'm the fiscal watchdog of the state. I think that this, from an economics perspective, is bigger than just basketball. Basketball is huge. We're the basketball capital of the world. This is about economic development, job creation. You'd mentioned the big practice facility. How cool would it be to see that, right? You mentioned it with Arunan yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just in Boston.
Celtics,
the other
Bruins.
Day. Exactly.
Yeah.
You drive by that Warrior Ice Arena. It's a huge deal. And I think I'm an optimist. I think this is going to happen. I think that either the deal is going to go through because the WNBA is going to hear from their fans that want this to happen, or the tribe is going to decide not to sell the team and we can go back at this.
Man, so quickly, we got to run for a break here. Arunan said 50%. I said 12.
12?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I want it to happen. I do. Yeah. But I think that it you need to be way more aggressive. Two quick questions. Do you think you'll sue if the things don't go your way? Not you,
that's,
but
that's
like,
not my job. I don't know enough about
that. And number
that.
Two, how do you, what's your percentage handicap?
I don't like to give percentages for anything in life, but I would just say I feel good about our chances to get this deal done, to force the WNBA to listen to their fans, listen to their current owners, and approve this deal. Don't ship this team to Houston. Boston is a sideshow that got a lot of attention. That was more of a PR campaign on Boston's part than it was an actual thing that was happening. They want to move this team to Houston. Right now they're offering $75 million less than Lazary and his group are offering. I think there's going to be a way to figure this out.
Yeah, I think ultimately the league might say screw it, and they throw in the 75 and they say, you know, eat dirt. But I don't know what's going to happen. And I do think that facility would be an amazing thing for Hartford, and Hartford needs it so badly. And I just think that everyone needs to be a little more aggressive, including Mr. Lazary. We're back with Sean Scanlon, the comptroller here in Connecticut. You know, I the Democratic Party conversation, I want to save because it's bigger and I want to have a full 10 minutes. It was your grandfather who was a firefighter?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done about 25 or 28 of these starting across Connecticut. We've been all in every corner. And some of the small towns, you know, are having such trouble with volunteerism. And a lot of it's passed on from parent to child. I don't want to say father to son, because there's a lot of daughters that do it too and a lot of mothers that do it. And some towns protect that volunteerism fiercely and others are having trouble. I'd say a smaller percentage are actually thriving. And we had Scarpatti on the other day from Meriden, because I saw they shuttered it. And like many people, I didn't even know they still had a volunteer fire department in Meriden. But I'm wondering if you think this is cyclical, generational, pandemic. Like, what do you think the reason is that fewer of us are donating our time?
I think it's cultural, in the sense that work has changed, right? So for context for your listeners, in the spring, I did a big report on the state of firefighting in Connecticut, on the volunteer side mostly. And what the report showed and what got the most attention was that from 2018 to today, we've had a 61% drop in volunteer firefighters in the state. I have a guy in my office named Brandon Young who literally reached out to every single town and every single fire department in Connecticut and got the numbers. But work has changed. Used to be in 50 years ago, you worked in your town that you lived in, right?
Right.
When your pager went off or the literal bell rang from the fire department, you would get in your truck and you'd drive to the fire truck and you'd go and you'd do it. That's not what work is like today.
Right.
And so you see this problem like they had in Meriden. Fortunately, in Meriden, there is a career fire department that's already there. But what you're going to start to see more and more is volunteer fire companies shutting down in places where there is no career department. And then you have to get into things like I've talked about.
Pooling resources between towns.
Well, but do we need to have state firefighters, right? We have state troopers. Right now, most towns in Connecticut don't have their own police department. They have resident state troopers.
Right.
Do we need to adopt what some of the states are doing where there is sort of a regional state firehouse where there's staffed 24/7 paramedics and firefighters that can respond to calls in rural Connecticut? I don't think we're very far away from that.
Just to repeat the statistic for people, from 2017 to 2025, there's been a 64% reduction in volunteer firefighters in the state of Connecticut.
Yes.
And that's a stunning number.
Yeah.
And I think you're mostly right. I think that also, I think that's the way our, no offense to the young people in the studio here, I think that kids are different and they're not, we're not raising our kids to also be adults in the town they grew up in.
Yeah.
Right. So, and because I think it's passed on from parent to child, but I think it's, in some ways I feel it's sad. I think small town Connecticut, again, Connecticut gets knocked for small town Connecticut is amazing.
Yeah.
And we have such incredible towns. So outside of, you're basically saying we need to respond to this problem with a different solution. You don't think, because I was going to actually talk to Lamont next time he's in and say, why don't you do, you know what would be a great legacy for you? Governor Lamont was in your third term. Have volunteerism be your signature thing.
Yeah.
And have a huge statewide push to get more people to give their time or give some sort of credit for something for volunteerism. Like I'm saying to you, as potentially a long-term leader in the state, maybe there's a grander bargain to make to incentivize people to get back into it. And maybe you don't have to respond to the crappy trend in the culture and we can maybe bring it back. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, listen, I think there's a couple different things at play here, right? We're not going to have all career firefighters in the state. That's very expensive. Not every town's going to be able to afford that. We're a ways away from that. So yeah, volunteerism is good. Right now, there's property tax abatements and stuff like that, but it's not enough of an incentive for these people to do it. When I was in high school, I actually thought I was going to be a firefighter. I was a fire explorer, which is kind of like a junior firefighter kind of thing.
Right. Then you woke up and you said, my hair's too good to waste.
No, I just got interested in politics. But at the end of the day, right, that program doesn't even exist in the town that I live in anymore, right? Because that interest is just not there. And so I just think this is a problem that I drew attention to because I don't think enough people were talking about it. I'm personally interested in it just because, like you said, I have a family connection. But I'm also the guy who runs the largest healthcare plan for firefighters in the state and the largest retirement program for firefighters in the state. And I think a big part of this is why you see on the career side less and less people trying to fill these jobs is because towns have cut back on these benefits in recent years. And it's harder and harder for them to get qualified people because we've attacked the benefits. I think we need to do the opposite for cops and firefighters.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have tons of friends. I'm 53, so I have friends who put in their 20-something years and then retired and then went on to a different career, and they can continue with a second firefighting career or something else. It's true with police as well. Listen, we're going to continue with the Connecticut Comptroller, Sean Scanlon, here on Brian & Company. At 40, I want to talk surplus because, I mean, I literally need a tutorial every time I see you. And I want an update on the numbers and from where you sit. And then I really want to talk about the Democratic Party. I get attacked from both sides for being either too liberal. Not many people here at the station call me too conservative, but I get that accusation at home. And as someone who considers himself pretty independent, although people debate it, I really am curious about the Democratic Party nationally. And locally, too, I think there's a little delusion here in Connecticut because it's so blue. They don't know what's going on outside.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Connecticut, and it's if they did, they'd be pretty shocked. All right, welcome back here with Sean Scanlon, a comptroller here in Connecticut. The surplus, where are we fiscally in the state? You know, because I sort of like took a nap from the end of the session to today. So tell me what's been happening.
Trying to lull your listeners back into a nap by talking about the state
no,
budget.
No, like, to be like, people want to know if there's a surplus, then what is happening? And we had plenty of conversations about people want to spend it and the you know, obviously the pension debt and all this other stuff. But like, are we still ahead of the curve here?
Yeah, we're still ahead of the curve. So June 30th, fiscal year ends. July 1, new fiscal year starts. So a couple months ago, this all transpired. It was the seventh consecutive year we've ended the fiscal year with a surplus in Connecticut, right? So right now we have a $350 million surplus projected.
So you were surplusing even before the pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a big common myth busters out there, which is that our fiscal progress isn't due to the federal money that came in due to COVID. I get a lot of people on Twitter saying that.
You can't deny it's been a boost.
It's a boost. The money's all gone. It started in 2017. We passed the bipartisan budget. So fiscal year 18, 19, and 20, we had surpluses and we were saving in money and paying down debt even before pandemic started.
How are the numbers relative to when they were the highest in terms of surpluses?
Well, we're about, controversially, to make the largest volatility cap payment ever. Or one of the largest, at $1.9 billion into our pension fund when I close the books on our budget later this month. There's a lot of people who are having a debate about that, about the guardrails, but it has not slowed down, if that's the question you're asking about, since the COVID money went away.
I know you're a Democrat, but there's a lot of different responses here. You could spend the money, but moving forward, you could adjust taxes, right? I mean, if we're getting $2 billion over, there could be some relief for taxpayers and still stay surplus and still pay that down. We don't have to do $2 billion a year. I know, you know, it's amortizing out to what, like 2050? I don't know what it is when it's going to be fully funded, but you don't have to have these huge sums. I mean, is there a case for a tax cut?
I would make it all day long. I'm a Democrat who believes that we should be cutting all taxes. I just believe that. I think we should be cutting taxes for the lowest among us. I think we should be cutting taxes for the middle class. I think we should be cutting property taxes. I think we should be cutting taxes all the time. The tax burden is a serious problem in our state. It's a perception problem, but it's also a reality problem, and I think we'd have to address that.
You know, it's an interesting segue. I'm not going to get into the party thing, but I think a national lane is, you know, all these tax cuts and all these cuts to government is going – the cuts to government are basically trying to – and the tariffs are trying to fund the tax cut. It would be nice if they didn't – if they let the tax cut expire, take the excess funds and try to balance the budget or whatever. And so – you know, I think it is a good connection, but I think my point is, like, Democrats, they don't need to work hard here in the state to keep the majority, but that'd be a nice lane to go in to work with Republicans on. I don't know why we don't.
I think it's about less about keeping the majority and more about stimulating economic growth in the state. The president and the Republicans in Congress, they believe in trickle-down economics. I believe in bottom-up economics. So I think if we start cutting taxes for the people who make the least in Connecticut, we've done all these studies that we could bore listeners talking about, like tax incidents, right?
We have you to sum it up, though.
That shows that the lowest paid people in our state pay more in taxes than billionaires and millionaires in Connecticut. And I think we need to flip that on its head, not necessarily by increasing taxes on the wealthy, though I do think that that's a conversation that we're going to have, but more about focusing tax relief on the poor and the middle class, which I think then in turn stimulates economic growth way more than giving tax cuts to billionaires and millionaires.
Well, I think with the millionaires and billionaires, they have the money and the sophistication to find out ways to avoid it, right? Like to me, it's like just pay what everyone else pays, right? Like, me in the middle class, I end up paying ridiculous taxes because I don't have the money or the sophistication to get around it, right? We're talking with Sean Scanlon, Connecticut Comptroller here on Brian and Company. So, and things are tracking still in that direction. So you're basically fiscally, if it's July, August, September, so the end of this month wraps up the first quarter of that fiscal year.
Yeah.
And are things still, because $2 billion that must accelerate the calendar for paying it off, right? It has to.
Well, we're making huge progress about that. And, you know, we've paid off close to $10 billion of our pension debt just in the last 5 or 6 years as a result of this work we're doing. But there's a big debate that's going to happen, and it's one I support happening, which is the guardrails were created in 2017 to solve a fiscal crisis that we were in that moment. We are not in that crisis anymore. And so I do think it is a good thing to have a debate about what the future of the fiscal guardrails needs to look like. And I think we need to find a way to make them adaptive. It's really important to pay down that pension debt. I am never going to be somebody who's going to support stopping that because we have to get that millstone off of our kids' neck. However, I do think that there are needs out there that if we were to find perhaps a different balance of what we're doing in terms of that saving, we can set Connecticut up for success.
Yeah, I think the Republicans are like, well, you just want to spend it. And I think if you like went, well, maybe cut taxes a little bit, it's a way to compromise it, right, in this whole dynamic, because maybe the volatility cap isn't that volatile. I mean, at this point, you have a sample size that's pretty big, and it is what it is. It's been pretty consistently in a surplus. We continue with Sean Scanlon, the comptroller here in Connecticut. I've had a lot of conversations. I don't want to have too much of a preamble here, but from Mamdani in New York to Jerry Nadler stepping aside to, you know, our conversation with Jillian Gilchrist, have been four people primarying, you know, a multi-term incumbent is stunning. And when you think about it, it's stunning. Is this a symbol of like the really has to be generational change in the party to get it back on its feet?
I think a lot of Democrats view the moment that we're in as a very existential one, and one that causes them to feel like, because of what's happening in Washington and because of the challenge that they want to solve ideologically, that we just need new people. And typically when they think of new people, they think of generational change to solve the problems that are coming up as a result of Washington or solve the problems that are not being solved by Washington. And so I think there's this big, big push in my party right now for new voices and new people. But that doesn't mean that all of those new voices are created equal, right? And I don't think that every new voice is going to win in every primary and vice versa. I don't think that every incumbent is going to win in every primary. All these races are going to be very different.
You know, I'm wondering because, you know, in talking to Representative Gilchrist and thinking about Mamdani and AOC, youth is being equated now with progressivism. And where I sit, I'm not sure that's the answer that's going to compel the party to win. I'm just curious because it seems like the youth is way left. And now they're even younger than you, some of these folks. What do you think? Where do you think the party should be? I mean, you talked about cutting taxes. I mean, that is not something that comes up much with progressive Democrats.
I think the party needs to be talking about affordability. I think that's the biggest issue that people out there in the state and this country are worried about and thinking about every day. And that's the issue that we need to be thinking about and talking every day. The reason why most people in my party, especially here in Connecticut, don't talk about it as much as I do is because they think that somehow conceding that Connecticut is unaffordable is an indictment on them. It's not. There are factors in Connecticut that make our state unaffordable. And those are the things that I want to attack, whether it's energy, housing, healthcare. Those are all things we need to acknowledge are more expensive than they should be for people and say that we are making progress on trying to tackle. Mamdani was elected for a lot of different reasons.
Well, he hasn't won yet.
But in the primary, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that electorate is very different than Connecticut. And so what I think was a central thing that he did that's right is he was focused on affordability and he was talking about kitchen table issues. I think that that's what we need to be doing here and everywhere in the state.
Yeah, because all the conservatives like on this station say Democrats are on the wrong side of every 80-20 issue there is.
That's right? What President Trump wants to do. He wants to make people believe that that's the case. But I don't fall into that trap of talking about everything he wants to talk about because it's a losing game. We have to talk about what people want us to talk about, and that is affordability.
Right. And so, you know, the taxation issue is interesting. But I don't want to get into the trans athletes and other things and because I don't think it's relevant to the current conversation. But, you know, in Connecticut, and it's such a strong blue state. And I'm just curious, like, in you know, Senator Murphy, who I know you're close with, like he's tried really hard to get a national voice. I just feel like we're so strongly blue that we don't often recognize what's going on in the rest of the country.
Yeah, but I also don't think that we're as strongly blue as people think we are. If you look at a map of election results in the state, there's a lot of red on that map. And I think the future of this state is not one that we can take for granted as a Democratic Party. The Republican Party has nominated bad candidates for high offices in the state. I don't think they're going to keep making that mistake. And there is a new generation of Republicans coming up that are about my age that I think are very talented politicians that are going to be making a case about affordability. And I think we need to be matching them on those issues and talking about those issues and not being afraid to do it.
Specifically, you're talking about Ryan Fazio and Aaron Stewart.
Sure.
I'm sure of that. And so in some ways, that's a comment about 2030. I mean, we're all assuming that Governor Lamont's going to run for third term. I personally, I have no problem with him, but I wish he didn't so we could have an open race here because I think there's tons of talent on both sides. I'd love to see people duke it out, including yourself. But that's more a comment about like wait for 2030 because Democrats are going to have – it's going to be a fight for that gubernatorial seat probably.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a fight about ideas and where people want to take the state. And I think personally as a young person, I'm excited about the prospect of having those kind of debates. Because I think right now in Washington, we don't really have debates. We have yelling sessions at each other. We talk about toxic political issues that real people don't really care about. Nobody on a daily basis talks to me about trans athletes or illegal immigration or the National Guard. They talk about their electric bill. They talk about their property tax. They talk about what their kids are doing for school. Those are the real kitchen table issues that people actually care about. And those are the issues that we should be talking about. We get sucked into this cultural stuff because that's where the national politicians want to take the conversation because they think it's good for them. Real people actually care about these kitchen table affordability issues, and that's what we should be focused on as a party.
Yeah, I didn't have a ton of time to talk about the Medicaid, you know, gap and education and what the impact of what's going on federally and so on and so forth. But do you think the state, if this patterns, we have a short amount of time, patterns continue at the federal level, are we going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, look, Connecticut is in a better position than many other states in the sense that we have a very large rainy day fund and we have the ability to make investments when we lose funding from things like healthcare, like Medicaid or food assistance for needy people in our state. We have the ability to step up and backfill that. There are limits to what we can do, but I think we can't just sit around here and say, well, we can't do anything because we have to see what comes down the pike in Washington. People want to see us actually addressing the issues that they see in front of them right now at their kitchen table, at their small business, on their main street. We can't just keep saying, well, we have to wait and see what happens with Donald Trump in Washington. That's a bad playbook.
Well, listen, I always appreciate the time. There's always more to talk about. 20 seconds, anything else you want to chime in on? Are you good?
How do you feel about UConn football?
I think that I like UConn football. I think they could tighten up the defense. If they could win this weekend, I think it would be a big
My nephew
deal.
Just started at Syracuse. It's his freshman year, so he's going to the game.
Yeah. But he'll be at the game with some orange thing on his head, being a fool. Yeah, I'm pro. I think over the 7 wins is the line.
Yeah.
You taking the over or the under?
Over.
Okay. Sean Scanlon, comptroller here in Connecticut. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.